Hello and welcome to the first ever Christmas special episode of the Virtual Pub. I'm Jason England and we can't go to the pub right now, so where are we going to bring the pub?
To you!
To you!
Delivered with that festive energy. It's been a while since we've been on the air, and I'll be honest, this may or may not, we're not entirely sure at the moment, be the last episode of the Virtual Pub. So we're going to make this one as festive as we possibly can, and we're going to be ditching picking any pricks, and we're just going to have a jolly good time. So we'll start by catching up with everybody, and we start at the top with Lindsay. How are you doing? What are you drinking? What are you going to be drinking on Christmas Day?
I'm all right. I'm bored now. Out of work for, well, not out of work, been off work for 3 months now. Drinking Budweiser because I've just recently got back on that hype again. Christmas Day. Well, if there's one thing you guys know about me, I fucking love Christmas. And I'll be up at 8 a.m. I'll have a glass of Bucks Fizz. I'll have my bacon pancakes. Then I'll drink whatever's there. And then because we are a house full of bartenders now, probably some cocktails later on to some extent, depending how fucked up we get. But I expect to be drunk by 12.
Sounds like a classic Christmas. Top choice. Top choice. Especially the Bucks Fizz in the morning. It's been ages since I've had one.
I just love it. I know it's only like 3%, but there's just something that tastes so nice about it. And it's like £2.
You can drink it forever is the key thing.
Yeah.
Like there's no point at which you could be drinking Bucks Fizz and start to get, you know, when you like you have enough beers, like 15 or something, and you get to the point that even the beer starts to taste a little bit funny. That never happened with Bucks Fizz.
It's very true.
Yeah, exactly.
And people always say, oh, just make your own. It doesn't taste the same. It just doesn't. You need it exactly. To have the sediment to have settled in the bottle for like 6 months, else it's just not the same.
It needs to have been in somebody's garage for ages until everybody thinks, oh, we should have Bucks Fizz on Christmas Day.
Exactly. That's what I'm planning. With the little the plastic cork that isn't fooling anyone.
Yes. And a question I will be asking everybody, but we'll start with you at the top. It's worth remembering that we managed to do this for a hell of a lot of weeks, and we managed to make a barely passable podcast. So do you have a favorite moment from the past 21 episodes I think we've done?
Dogging.
No, what's your favorite moment of the podcast?
I think that episode was just I don't know, it felt like we were just being friends again, like, well, obviously we're friends, but like, you know what I mean, like, just it felt like we were being normal.
Well, people who do dogging are quite regularly good friends. I mean, that's separate the point.
That's swinging. Dogging is strangers.
Ah. So yes, I'll leave links in the description to like what episodes we're talking about. I'll need to actually try and remember what episode numbers they are, and you guys can go back and listen to them at your leisure.
Yes. What about you, Jay? How are you? What are you drinking? What are you going to drink on Christmas?
So, I'm doing all right. Got made redundant in November and managed to find another job more recently. But also, I've been trying to weigh that in with some freelance that I've been trying to get cracking on with. You also kind of realize that when you work freelance, that clients can really be assholes who just don't pay whatsoever, no matter how much you chase them. Like, I won't name names. I'm not going to be a bitch like that, but this person will probably find out that I'm talking about them. But it doesn't matter because that bridge is already quite firmly burnt.
At least it's a new listener.
They've been like 2 weeks overdue on paying an invoice that I sent to them. Turns out that I tried to call them over and over and over again to try and get payment from them. And it got to a point that it wasn't even ringing anymore. And it just said, this number's not recognized. So it turns out this person had clearly blocked my number. So I called him from my girlfriend's number and he picked up immediately. He just wasn't happy that I managed to get through to him. And it's like, mate, you can't just fucking take the piss. Like, I need to be paid. I've got rent. I've got bills and shit to get sorted out. So that's been compounding everything. But luckily, new job starting next year. I don't have to worry about any of that shit. I'm quite clearly not well built for the freelance world. And what I'm drinking right now, I've got Session IPA. I don't know why I'm showing it to this webcam, even though we're not even doing video of this, but here we go. And on Christmas Day, I will be drinking Rattler. My mum thinks that she has very carefully wrapped up bottles of Rattler as if I don't know what they are. So I've just gone ahead and put the ready wrapped bottles in the garage because that's basically my fridge to store everything. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Like I say, Rattler obsessed Jason isn't going to be able to tell the shape and weight of the bottle. Oh yes, this is a 1926 vintage. Yes, I can tell just by the way it rolls in my hand.
I'm as old as fuck. What were you saying, Lindsay?
Did you not know that freelancers get paid in exposure?
Oh yeah, absolutely. This seems to be a thing that they all keep telling me. Where it's like, yeah, I'll spread the word about your efforts, and it's like, yeah, great. That's gonna pay for my meals for the next week.
I
mean, you could try it with Eon or whoever your energy company is. It's like, oh, that's fine. Yeah, I don't need to pay you. I'll just tell all my friends to go on your same service.
Because that would help greatly.
Cool. Yeah, so that sounds pretty good. Sounds like a good Christmas. What was your favourite podcast moment?
Well, that would be the whole mini cheddar discussion. And just how utterly frustrated and very angry Ben got at the whole situation. Was no doubt a highlight of the entire thing. I didn't realise that you could be that passionately angry about stuff, Ben.
You brought up crisps.
Well, are they crisps? Or are they baked snacks?
Are they crisps?
I'm past the point of caring now. It's 20.
It's 2020. There's nothing to worry about.
It's never going to get to number one with a Christmas song about mini cheddars with that attitude.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine? You could take that level of passion to Lad Baby and have a joint number one.
Exactly.
Watch this space.
Yeah, but you're forgetting, Moody. I'm not a cunt.
just to clarify, we support the charitable work that Lad Baby is doing.
He's the musical equivalent. Sorry. Yeah, but he's the musical equivalent of Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Like, oh, fucking hell. The whole Mrs. Brown's Boys thing.
Let's be honest, they're controversial statements, but none of them are wrong.
Nah, I'm not questioning the quality. It's just, yeah, fucking hell, you're bringing that up. Like, 2020's been shit enough. Why do we even want, like, and now we've got Mrs. Brown's Boys confirmed until, like, 2026 or something. Like, what the fuck?
Have you noticed that got confirmed and then 2 days after a new strain of coronavirus was discovered? Ah. 70% more transmission. Missable or whatever you say, like it's swings and roundabouts. Do you know what I mean?
It's a tough one though, isn't it? Because it's like the complete opposite of like all the messages from the world at the moment, like stay at home, don't go out, and then the BBC says we're going to show more Mrs. Brown's Boys, and that's like the ultimate incentive to leave the house.
Well, just after watching an episode and going out, just asking people to cough on you.
I don't know. Should we just scrap the entire schedule for this podcast and spend an hour and a half talking about how much we hate Mrs. Brown's Boys?
Yeah, yes. That sounds good to me. Yeah.
Let's just have a section of what would we rather do instead of watch Mrs. Brown's Boys?
Well, that'll be an hour and a half.
Yeah, that'll be an entire episode, that would.
I mean, I'd rather wank with sandpaper.
Are we like, meaning like on the toilet or just like, just in the wild or with...
What? In the world, I'd rather watch him just like have a shit right in front of me, like have that angle right so that like I can see everything.
But you want about me?
Yeah, I'd rather that happen than watch Mrs. Brown's Boys.
To be fair, Mrs. Brown's Boys
is the same as Mrs. Brown's Boys.
No, my shitting has much more credibility television wise. I'm pretty sure I could sell fucking tickets.
I want you to remember this, ladies and gentlemen, because next year it's going to be a hell of a year on TV.
Next on BBC, Strictly Ben Shitting. Then afterwards, it's The Wheel with Michael McIntyre.
Oh, I know. Oh,
Yeah, what's worse than having Michael McIntyre? I watched an episode of that because I was that bored the other day, and I had the theme tune stuck in my head. And the worst thing is that it's just the wheel over and over again.
The wheel. The wheel.
if you're gonna get Z-list celebrities, you're gonna get like shitty answers and no knowledge from them at all. So,
hey, Leo.
Okay, what?
No, they're not all shit celebrities. Dermot O'Leary was on it the other week, and Frankie Dettori. Okay.
I have no idea what you're on about.
Yeah, no idea.
It's for the best.
Speaking of people whose arseholes you'd love to see on TV, apparently, Thorpe. How on earth are you, my friend? What are you drinking, and what will you be drinking on the big day?
I'm fine. I think I just moved house when we last did a pod, or when I was last on an episode of this podcast. Since then, I've done fuck all. because one says, Lindsay, I'm off work. I wish I had something to tell you, but no, I really don't. I did buy Cyberpunk. Well, Nina bought me Cyberpunk for Christmas, which has now gone back to the shop.
Yeah.
I now have a £50 game voucher for next year to spend on something. Maybe Cyberpunk when it actually gets better. apart from that, nothing. I'm currently drinking Jai Pure because I thought I'd actually drink something nice other than Budweiser. No offense, Lindsay, but it's just Christmas Day.
Is a posh one for me.
Yeah, I was going to say it's normally Coors, isn't it?
I'm surprised it's not Coors.
I mean, I've gone right off it, you know.
Because Coors is shit.
It's because it's shit.
No, I think it makes me miss work too much.
Ah.
Oh my God, guys.
What?
I'm sorry.
Stop hijacking my section.
Sorry.
Classic chat jack here. What's going on, Linz?
I took an illegal trip to Devon, but I went to a pub.
Oh,
it was so fucking good. Not even sorry.
I had
two pints, and yes, that was Coors, but it was draft, and draft beer is so much better than any beer you can get out of a can or a bottle. It was amazing.
I think we can all agree here that Lindsay is a nice words because she's looking after Ruby on Friday, but a bit of a prick right now.
What pub did you go to in Devon?
It was only a beef eater one.
Ah, okay. But I was here thinking that you're going to a pub in Devon. You go to a pub, something that none of us can do at the moment, and you drink Coors Light.
Joey had Thatcher's.
I was going to say, Joey, if
Carling, come on.
I say, Jay, if I was in a pub, the first thing I'd probably drink is a sweet, sweet dark fruits.
But like I said, it doesn't matter what you have at the moment because it's been so long.
Yeah.
It all tastes fantastic. It's coming out of a glass with a widget in the bottom that's come out of fresh tap, even with my substantial meal.
I bet it tasted as that that homeless guy said that was on Lad Bible. It tastes like piss, angels pissing on your tongue.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it did.
What? back to the original point. What are you drinking? You're drinking Jaipur at the moment, Brent, but what are you drinking on Christmas Day?
Anything I can get my hands on. I don't even know. I'll be honest.
What exactly? What you got?
It's the wrong time to ask me because I haven't done my alcohol shop yet, so I've just got random beers from when I've been to the shop. So I think I've got like 8 bottles of Bud, 4 cans of San Miguel, 3 cans of Jaipur, all in the and half a bottle of Bailey's in the fridge.
And a partridge in the pear tree.
That's a cocktail I want to have.
Nice.
So I will be doing my alcohol shop tomorrow and it will probably be...
Don't forget my bottle of rum.
Our own Red Leg again or something on the something on that basis. Probably be Moretti or something like that because I'm a posh bastard. And it's Christmas, so I'll drink what I want instead of cheap shit.
Fair. And last but not least for you, my friend, what has been your favourite part of the show?
Oh shit, it's good job I didn't mute myself to check where the dog's gone. So it's running up and downstairs. My favourite bit one of favourites would probably be Lindsay's reaction to when she lost the Harry Potter quiz.
And Pokemon quiz.
And the Pokemon quiz, yeah.
No, did she win the Pokemon quiz?
No,
she
won.
No, you did.
No, I didn't win it.
I won it.
It was either me or Moody.
Oh,
I think.
But it wasn't Lindsay. It doesn't really matter who won.
Yeah, what matters here is that Lindsay lost and ended the show on quite a hilariously sour note.
It's
sobbing into a microphone.
It's very reminiscent of the conversation that's been going on today in the fantasy NFL league that Leo and I are part of, where we've established that because Goz isn't winning this year, we all feel like winners, and nobody really cares who wins the final because Goz has lost, and that's hilarious.
Yeah, but getting the one universal fact that everyone in the world knows, it's hilarious when Goz loses.
Mm. That is true.
Shout out to Goz.
You ass.
Next up, Moody, how on earth are you doing and what are you drinking at the moment, and what will you be drinking on Christmas Day?
That's way too many questions for me to remember in one go. I'm doing good. I'm currently drinking San Miguel because that is now the cheapest of the good lagers that's in Tesco's, and so I did a massive stock up when they did the Christmas 20% discount, which is bloody fantastic. 20% off stuff when it's already cheap is very cheap. So hooray for that. Nice. What was the other question? What will I be drinking on Christmas Day? Probably not that much, actually. So our Christmas Day plans, we are potentially a little bit controversial given current circumstances and current news articles, but we are going to Fiona's mum's and having Christmas dinner.
Bubbling up.
We've kind of in a situation where we bought for a little while. Fiona finished work on, well, the last time she was with the children at school was Thursday. My last shift at work was Sunday, and there's a place about 10 minutes drive from where we live that is offering those lateral flow tests, the ones where you get a result in an hour. So we popped down there yesterday afternoon and just got tests. Pleasingly, both came back negative.
Yeah.
And so we are essentially now isolating through till Christmas. And, you know, full disclosure, obviously that's not reducing the risk down to totally zero, but it does feel like we're doing the things to minimize that risk. And we won't be doing it as a normal Christmas on the day. You know, we won't all be sitting around the same table. I think Fee and I are going to end up in the conservatory for Christmas dinner. So it'll be very, very different. And we probably won't be there for as long as normal. But we will go across for at least a couple of hours on Christmas Day. And for that reason, I'll be driving. So I'll be limiting myself to just the one or two drinks while we're there. We're recording this on the Tuesday, the 22nd. My birthday obviously falls on Thursday, the 24th. So the tradition dictates, because of the inconvenient time of my birthday, that we would usually get together on Thursday before. And obviously with it falling on a Thursday this year, I think the last time it did fall on a Thursday, I ended up doing it a whole week before, but we're just going to do a gathering online tomorrow evening. And I will probably drink most of my Christmas allocation tomorrow night, have a bit of a hangover on my actual birthday, and then probably commence drinking again on Boxing Day through till round about the new year, I would have thought. So, yeah.
Nice.
And then throughout the year.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Well, you know, start as you meant to go on, I suppose.
Exactly. It's the way that it seems to be leading up is that I would like to forget most of 2021 as well. So I might join you on that. And my
favourite bit of these podcasts, I think I'm just going to sort of almost raise a glass to you, Jay, because your absolutely mammoth rants about the Daily Mail and newspapers and idiots on Twitter are just something to behold. And as you've already alluded to, we don't know exactly what the future of this podcast holds. But I think if we don't end up doing regular ones, you should just literally do that segment as a weekly drop that people can just tune into. I think it's quite cathartic to hear you ranting about shitty newspapers and shitty journalists. And I'd thoroughly encourage you to just keep doing that regardless of what we do in the future. So cheers to you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're making him blush now.
Yeah. Someone's put the radio on in there. What's going on?
It's winter. It's cold, isn't it? There's your excuse.
And last but not least, Big Beardy Leo, how are you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm all right, to be fair.
Yeah?
I am drinking, at the moment, red wine. I've already polished off one glass. And I'm only going to have another glass, because a couple of weeks ago, while having a kind of online get-together with old uni friends, I had three glasses. And because I have low tolerance for alcohol now, next day was pretty tragic. Pretty high.
Also, wine hangover as well.
Yeah, I've got to preserve it, because I'm going to have the rest of it tomorrow at Moody's Gap.
Hey.
So, life's all right. I'm either at home or at work. But I did venture into town last Tuesday just to feel alive, shall we say. Just to do
it's
something.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. And I didn't really get any. It was a trip in to see if I could get any more inspiration for little gifts. Because that's what I normally do, kind of. I ask people what they want and, you know, I go around town. Like, there's anything that, you know, but no, couldn't think of anything. Had no inspiration whatsoever, which kind of sums up Christmas, really. As a food retail worker, I've not really got the Christmas spirit yet, and it's even more so this year with how this world is at the moment. But who knows? I'm not working till Thursday after yesterday, and then I'm not working till Monday after that, so. Yeah, I'm not working Boxing Day for once. So maybe I might actually enjoy Christmas this year. We're not thinking about work.
Nice.
Christmas Day? Well, there's only three of us. And as always, I think I did buy a bottle with my double discount for payday. So that will probably be opened. We got a better discount than Moody because everyone... Co-op got 50% on payday.
Because you don't work for a massive conglomerate thing that actually has a slightly higher staff welfare, probably.
Yeah, but we didn't have 50% on alcohol, though, so I only had to have double discount on alcohol. But yeah, and what I did, we also got £10 on our membership card earlier in the week, and so I bought £20 worth of stuff and for the food bank, and with 50% off, cost me the £10, so I put that in the food bank. And we also got a free box of chocolates from the co-op, and I put them in the food bank as well.
I went into work on what was it? Not the Sunday before Christmas, but it would have been like the Thursday, just over a week ago. And I got in, and it was the first shift I've worked for 3 or 4 days. And one of the bosses said to me, he says, "Have you had a box of chocolates yet?" I said no, and he pointed at these stacks of roses and Quality Street that were on the shelf, and he said, "Oh, do you want one?" I said, "Yeah, all right." He said, "Usually Tesco do a staff Christmas dinner for everyone, but they can't do one this year because of COVID, so they're giving everyone a box of chocolates." And I was just like, "It's a really weird substitute, isn't it?"
That's like
kind of sums up the supermarket I work for. They've substituted the whole roast dinner for a box of Quality Street. I was like,
"Has anyone read about the tram drivers?"
There's a turkey in there.
No.
Oh, what the bonus drivers that they got?
Yeah, so normally they get a £25 gift card or something, but they're not getting that this year. So what they've done instead, they've set a van up in Wilkinson Street car park and given all tram drivers a turkey cob. So long as you're there in the times when the van's there.
Why can't they? Oh, I suppose they can't afford the £25 because everyone's been taking the tram for free.
Yeah, but the thing is, the turkey's gonna get there sometime during March 2021, and it's coming on a bus replacement.
Other bit as well, when you're talking about like food van donations, there, Leo, there was something that somebody posted quite recently on Twitter. They were talking about how some supermarkets, when people were going through the tills and paying for stuff, like the people were saying, "Would you like to donate food by dropping it in the basket by the front window?" And the first thing that this person obviously said in relation to this supermarket chain is that they could probably cure a lot of the hunger injustice by just paying their taxes and like the vast amount of money that they don't do so. And the recommendation that he said is basically, if you just take food off the shelves and put it in the basket by the front, it's technically not stealing because you're taking it off the property. Well, because you're not taking it off the property, sorry. and you're just like just donating the food straight away without having to like pay in the middleman. Not too sure how many people actually got away with that, but
that's all well and good as well. But I don't think you should shout that at the checkout lady.
The checkout lady's done nothing wrong. No. So don't shout at your checkout lady this, especially around this Christmas, given how pissed off people get. Like, honestly, God, when I went food shopping, I got the last red cabbage. The lady behind me got quite irate at the cashier when she was like, "No, we don't have any more available." And it's like, it's not her fault that they don't have that stock. So stop being a dick to stop this. It's my fault.
Fight me for this cabbage, bitch.
Well, love you, Jay, but she followed you home. She's stood outside your window right now. She's just waiting for the opportunity to get into your house and get the red cabbage.
I think we've just got the name of this podcast right now, this episode name, Fight Me for This Cabbage, Bitch. It's the name of this episode.
You're welcome.
And last but not least, Leo, what has been your favourite moment from these episodes? Because you joined us full time in like season two, didn't you?
I did. I didn't want to kind of go and choose something about myself. If I did, it would be kind of that episode where everything was going wrong in my life and I just raged at myself and my body and everything that was going on, which just, it was quite cathartic. It was just, looking back, I just funny how I just went ham on myself. But being invited to be a full-time member, that's, I'd say that was mine. It's aww, nice to join you all. Shit.
Ruby.
Thank you, Ben. So yeah, getting some artwork done about myself and ourselves was quite fun as well.
Yeah,
my
hair's a different colour now. We
for eternity.
I'm pretty sure we could run it through Photoshop and just change that layer.
I mean, it's changing again in January. It might not be working.
I'm just not going to bother. We'll keep it as it is. It's a time capsule. Back to that time we all got bored in lockdown and set up a podcast. Cool. So that is almost everyone introduced. At this point, we would be introducing our wonderful quizmaster Dolby. He is currently... I'll probably get a proper update from Lindsay when I'm saying this, but he was currently in the queue at Morrison's sorting out his food shop, bless him. Is he still there or is he on the way back?
He hasn't said he's on the way back, but I didn't want to distract him because if he's carrying bags for life, the last thing you want is your phone to go off.
Fair enough. He's got to stay focused. If he's carrying,
like, 3-4 of them and your phone goes off and then you're having the whole panic of like the mum with 3 kids trying to answer the phone and unlock the car door all at the same time. I just don't want to put him through the stress, but he will be here as soon as he manages to get back.
Exactly. So mum of 3 Dolby will be here soon enough. We are just going to move swiftly on. So join us after the break as we get into picking our winners of the year. Welcome back, and it's normally at this point that we pick some pricks, but this has been a pretty shitty year and we don't necessarily want to spend a good chunk of it moaning about people, so we're going to go ahead and pick our winners of the year. So the basic rules of this are people who have really inspired us or done amazing work over the year and really helped drive positive change for everybody in their lives. So I'm going to go ahead and start from the top of this list, and we're going to start with Lindsay. Who is your winner of the year?
See, my winner of the year is a little one. We're starting off small, but something that made a lot of people smile, and it did make a difference for a lot of people, I think, just a tiny bit. It is a young man called William Gibson. He was 17 at the beginning of this year. I don't know when his birthday is. I don't know him. But he is the genius that came up with the washyourlyrics.com website. where you just put in the song that you wanted, and then it would put the washing your hands instructions underneath the lyrics. So it was like, so it was an alternative to the happy birthday. And I just think that's great. And everyone used it for ages.
I wonder, I'm curious now. I'm just going to open up the website. What kind of songs should we put through this, guys?
Bohemian Rhapsody was the most popular one. I will say that.
Okay.
Well, I did Iron Maiden earlier, and I've just done Funeral for a Friend, but I think we should go down those
kind of groups. I don't know, no, Ludacris or something on. How many words can we get in?
What's the rhymes?
Give me a second. Let me just find it. So, we're going to test Area Codes by Ludacris. Are we going to do it by soap or by gel? What are we washing our hands with?
Go for soap. Go traditional.
We'll go soap.
I just put the winning one in the group chat and you can all react to it in real time as you see it.
Oh, okay. Let's have a look here.
Yes.
So, Moody has created one for Gimme Chocolate by Baby Metal. And I'll do a full, like, spoken word poem version of this.
Slam poetry.
Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Zuckerjun. Check it out. Chocolate. Can I have a bit of chocolate? Ah-ta-ta-ta.
English translation, actually. It's not in Japanese.
You're also going down the page instead of across. What are you?
Oh, I should go across. I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. I would do the full thing, but then again, it's probably going to take up like half an hour of the show for me to go through all of that. So it might be a bit of a boring listen for everybody if I was just going to do all of the Baby Metal lyrics there.
That is my nomination for winner of the year, because even now, still, when we all know how to wash our hands now, but it's still bringing a little bit of joy every now and again. That's all we needed this year, I think.
Exactly. And if anything, it means that I'm 100% going to be washing my hands while I'm singing, I got hose in different area codes.
I just did that by Cardi B.
I've just done Ass and Titties by DJ Assault.
How many times do you say ass and titties while washing your hands in that?
Not enough, too many. the bit where you rub between your fingers is big booty bitches, that's where it gets.
Quickly, we're going over the edge here. We're capsizing. Ben, who is your winner of the year?
Marcus Rashford.
I mean, yeah, good, you don't contribution. Even say a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
And also, congratulations to the man himself for winning one of the Sports Personality Awards. Well,
oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, one of the Sports Personality Awards fed some kids. I don't know. There was meant to be a word in between fed
some
and kids.
Fed
some kids. But my point about this was purely just how much of a prick Jason Rees-Mogg is.
Jacob.
What did I say?
It's not Freudian slip. What's wrong?
Well,
yeah. Anything.
There's some subliminal messaging there, Jay. Yeah.
Did I say Jason Rees-Mogg?
Yeah, fucking hell.
How much have you drank already, Ben?
Half a can.
Jason Rees-Mogg.
Ben can't drink anymore. Ben can't drink anymore.
Could I anyway? Yeah, he solved it, all that jazz. But I think we're all pretty on top of why Marcus Rashford is a winner of the year.
Yep.
Yeah. Say no more.
Yeah.
It's all that needs to be.
Jason, who is your winner of 2020?
Watch here as Jason does a double back and he goes, my winner of the year is not the Daily Mail. That's what he's going to do.
Got him. So my winner is the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern. So
yes. Preach, sister.
So I would be amiss if after Moody's favorite parts of this podcast talking about me and my rants, if I didn't manage to sneak a rant in there a little bit to say that it's fair to say that this whole handling of the coronavirus pandemic here in the UK has been a fucking shambles. Like, it's been so much of a shambles that we have invented a whole new strain of coronavirus in Kent. Like, Wuhan is so 2019. The new viral talk of the town is Kent, ladies and gentlemen.
Wuhan is so 2019.
And
taking it old school with the Wuhan vibes.
Fucking old school now. It's all here.
I saw someone on Twitter earlier who said that it's going to be a thing, like, the reason that all places in Europe have closed the borders now is because they're worried about getting the full English coronavirus. Which yeah, I thought was quite good.
Yeah.
Basically, what has happened over there, and it's been some of the most amazing work that I've seen being done on her end, and all that. And it was the simplest thing. She locked everything down early and quickly and followed what most people in Britain are calling a COVID zero strategy, where nobody leaves until there's zero cases and nothing is lifted until there is zero cases. And obviously there's been odd moments when things have happened, at which point rules have been put back in place, but then it's gone back down again. Some people say that may be over the top, but over the top has led to a total of 2,121 cases and just 25 deaths. Compare that to the UK, ladies and gentlemen, where we've had 2,100,000 cases and nearly 80,000 deaths caused by ignoring advice for 2 months, locking down too late, encouraging people to go out in droves over the summer, locking down too late again, ignoring the science, defending a fucking trip to Barnard Castle instead of focusing on fucking coronavirus. And we're going to make it even worse on ourselves by going towards a no-deal Brexit. But to be fair, that's neither here nor there.
That's a whole other conversation
really
that we're going
to
save
into that as well. We've got to keep positive. And the positivity from this is Jacinda is a fucking amazing person. If you've read the most recent interview with her, please do go and read that. The simple comparison is New Zealand have an amazing leader. We have someone who can't fucking brush his hair in the morning.
I think,
it's as simple
I think the
as
point
that.
Here, though, I think the key point and why you've got to recognise, it's not just that she's had a great year, it's that she's had a great few years, because it's a hypothetical argument, but I think it makes a point, which is if Jacinda Ardern and Boris Johnson had taken the exact same steps on the exact same day in terms of the progress of the pandemic, there would still have been two completely different results. One of the few reasons that the New Zealand strategy works is that when she stood up and said, we are having to lock everything down and we are going for a COVID zero strategy, is people said, okay, we trust you. We believe that this is the right thing to do and we'll do it. If Boris Johnson had got up and said that, it wouldn't have happened in this country, because there was already no trust in him as a prime minister, in the government. So it's not even just the response to the pandemic. She's been rightly applauded and, you know, recognised for the work that she did at that crucial time. But she was only able to do that because she'd already done several years of good work prior to that. And, you know, her approval ratings in the lead up to the election that took place later in the year, where her party won an outright majority, which is very, very unusual. In fact, this is the first one for about 40 years, I think. First outright majority in the New Zealand Parliament in over 40 years.
Yeah.
Is a testament to the fact that she has built a genuine trust with the people she represents. And in modern day politics, that's really quite refreshing, because it doesn't happen a lot. So it's really impressive what they've managed to achieve.
Exactly. So that would be my pick for winner of the year, going alongside William Gibson and Marcus Rashford. Next up, Leo, who is your winner of the year?
Dolly Parton. Now, she's already an amazing woman with many philanthropic endeavours, but this year she partly funded the Moderna vaccine. She donated £1 million to the research center, the hospital or university in Tennessee that's helped create the Moderna virus vaccine. I keep saying virus because I'm drunk. Yeah, she openly admits that she was only probably part of some of the monies that helped research this, but she's just very, she does a lot of work like this, and yourselves, you can look up all the kind of things she does, all the things she's created to help disadvantaged people, disadvantaged children, kids in her in Tennessee and the US, and kids in the UK. But yeah, just every year she donates $1 million to different causes, whether it be research causes or actual kind of boots on the grounds type thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Dolly Parton helped give us a vaccine for coronavirus.
And we're very thankful, Dolly. Only worked on it for 8 hours a day as well.
Hey. I was going to go even further and just say, guys, I hope you're looking forward to it, because throughout 2021, we're all going to get a vaccine, a vaccine, a vaccine, vaccine.
Oh, God's sake.
And finally, Moody, who is your winner of the year?
It's a shoe lot, innit?
Aww.
Oh. Seriously, though. Fuck me, one. Like, we sort of talked about this a little bit in the chat, and we were saying, oh, we're going to pick our favourite moments, and we pick our winners of the year and whatever. And it's like, actually, I'm just looking at my own world and the year we've all had, and obviously the six that we've got on this podcast, you guys are all Nottingham based, and when we had the couple of months in the summer where we could all get together, it was much easier for you guys to get together. I'm obviously a little bit away down in Leicester now, and I moved down to Leicester about three and a half years ago now, and it's fair to say, not through any, this isn't a complaint, this isn't me looking for a sympathy or anything like that, but I haven't necessarily built a network of people I know in Leicester, because actually a load of my mates are in Nottingham. Nottingham's quite close, and prior to March it was never a problem just to either jump in a car or jump on some form of public transport, and I could be in Nottingham in under an hour. So I was just quite happy to go back, and then suddenly that's all been uprooted a little bit by, you know, being encouraged to stay at home, or there not being things to do. Obviously, for those that know me, in normal times, I spend half of my free time either at music gigs or sporting events. And suddenly overnight, the rug's been whipped out from under my feet on both of them. So to be able to start doing this, and, you know, certainly through that first lockdown, have a couple of hours a week where we get together and have a chat and a record and all of that stuff, has probably been one of the key things that has kept me sane in this whole crazy year. So and I think, you know, we've all sort of said in conversations to one another that it's been a big part of it, and I know that we've had some feedback from people that listen to it as well, saying that, you know, it was a really key part of their week and everything like that. So yeah, it's a phrase that was often used in one of my old jobs, is take the time to smell the roses, and I think we should. We've done the right thing by doing this, and it's been a lot of fun, and yeah, we're all winners, guys.
Aww. Oh, you softy, Moody. I mean,
yeah. Are you guys hugging your laptops right now?
Nope, I just got a massive burp off Ben to really, really put
an exclamation point. Races, no matter what you do.
That's a cherry on the top there, the star on top of the tree.
Exactly.
Classic.
I mean,
thought.
I mean, yeah, to echo Moody's point, like, I don't know whether it's been the same with you guys, but I know that, yeah, this year has not been good for me. Like, it's, I think I've not really had a proper night's sleep since March, actually. Like, it's been that kind of struggle. But I know, especially for that first lockdown, as you guys were saying, like, to be able to have that moment that we all catch up, no matter how much it would piss off the missus if I went a little bit too late, or if I had a couple too many beers or whatever it was, I'd still really lamented the chances to, like, actually speak to other human beings outside of this household, and who is also not the 85-year-old barber downstairs telling me, like, oh, I'm just sick and tired of this, Jason. Like, it's actual other human beings, and it's really good to actually speak to you all. And yeah, it meant the world in the first time round, and it's been great to keep talking to you ever since then. And long may the virtual pub be a big achievement for us and something that we remember and something that we hopefully at some point come back to.
Hear, hear.
Aww. I just want to hug you all. That's going to be the most amazing hug.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm having dreams of like hugging people and being like, oh my God, you're the first person I've hugged. I'm like, why am I having dreams of that, man? I'm like, I'm that far away from human contact. I mean, actually, let me think. Now, all of you do have human contact in that respect that you can. So, mate, it's my lack of that's just.
Yeah, but you can hug your mum.
It's not the same.
But Joey doesn't hug me. So, I hug him. He doesn't hug me.
Relationship counselling is open now, ladies and gentlemen. What is going on over here?
I can just imagine Joey being a little spoon.
He is, always. The last time I was a little spoon was the first night he stayed over.
Wow.
But no, like one of the good things about being at work was obviously because I'm spending 50 hours a week with these people and you're in a work bubble, like, I hugged my workmates because it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But I couldn't hug my friends because of where everyone had been. But we were all my work friends. It was like we were home or at work. That was it. But now I haven't hugged anyone apart from Joey for ages.
Well, I assume the first thing will be just a massive group hug with Leo.
Yeah. Let's all get the vaccine on the same day and then we can all do it. We have a big group hug afterwards.
Well, after we've all had our second dose.
Yeah,
I don't know if any of you did that calculator. I know it's, as I said, it was a rough guide.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I get mine on my birthday week, which is only like 6 weeks away, apparently. I don't know when you'll get yours because you're fit and healthy. I'm the one that
I was going to say, I think I got mine in about 12 years.
Yeah, Pat.
I mean, I think fit and I remember healthy mine. Are the wrong words.
Yeah,
encourage me.
I think I retire before I get mine.
I can't remember the specific week. I think mine said September next year.
Yeah, mine was like between something like September.
That. Yeah.
At the current rate, mine's from the.
I wonder if I tell them that I really don't care that if I go infertile, they'll bump me up.
It's like, yeah, come on, just bump me up the queue. Come on.
Yeah, it's fine. Because that's like the main risk, isn't it? Like, women can go infertile. I don't care. Put me up there. I don't care if you before you work that kink out. Shove me up.
Inject it into my womb. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, straight in my ovaries.
Hook it to my veins.
What they actually find.
That took a turn.
And just to clarify, just wanted to give a quick fact check for people who may not understand sarcasm at that point in time. No, the coronavirus does not cause infertility. Just a.
What about the vaccine? I thought the vaccine. I thought that was about the vaccine.
Yeah, the vaccine.
You said coronavirus. You didn't say vaccine.
We're going to have someone fact check. Well.
Fucking hell. Jason Rees-Mogg strikes again. Right. The coronavirus vaccine does not cause infertility. Right, underline it.
I wouldn't care if it did.
Join us after the break.
It does, however, contain microchips.
Bill Gates.
What?
Tell me where my non-existent children are going.
Ben, do you mean the McCain ones?
Yes, literal microchips.
The microchips were like small fucking.
Because you also get radiation as well. That's what heats the chips up.
Oh, no. We're veering out of control. Join us after
the break. Just contain 5G.
Get us back in line. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Look at Jay's face.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have my head in my hands at the moment. Just this sheer display from all of us. Join us after the break as we get into the final pub quiz of the virtual pub. Welcome back. And before we get into our big fat quiz of the year, we are very, very pleased to welcome back to the show Dolby after his mammoth trip to Morrison's. How are you doing and what are you drinking?
Well, I'm currently drinking water because I'm exhausted. Oof. I'm exhausted from my trip to Morrison's, but I've also got a glass of Bailey's next to it. So I'll nice. Soon be tipping over.
Yeah, the good old water Bailey's combination.
Well, me and my girlfriend have been substituting Bailey's for milk for all of December. So,
damn,
I've not been having any milk in my morning coffee. It's just been a shot of Bailey's instead. So,
well, tis the season.
I mean, sounds great.
Those pre-gym protein shakes must be having an effect.
You know what? When I've lost 7 stone, I don't really give a fuck about it now. It's
Christmas. Fair play. And how was Morrison's?
I mean, hell will probably be better.
Jesus.
That's why I'm going at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
It's all done now, so I've not got to worry.
Awesome. So, what will you be drinking on the big day?
What won't I be drinking on the big day? I'm lucky enough that I'm actually going to get to see my family. I realise that some people listen not to be in that position. But yeah, like, I went and bought a load of booze today. So I've got like wine, mainly red wine and lager, which I won't be drinking at the same time. But me and my brother have come up with a Gogglebox drinking game. I'm just going to marathon Gogglebox on Christmas night and get really pissed watching it.
What are the rules, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, there's various ones. Like, it's quite, you have to have a relatively intimate knowledge of Gogglebox. For some of them are quite niche.
Send it to me. My mum loves it. I'm sure she'll want something to do.
Like, yeah. Like, the Manchester family.
Yeah.
The dad has a very particular look on his face that he makes. It's kind of... and they zoom in on it all the time. So it's... when he does that drink. When the gay fella on it, I can't remember his name, tries to make a joke, but it actually is shit and does it is a very funny drink. Like, things like
Is there anything around when the two dogs appear in the Manchester family's shot?
Yeah, if an animal interferes in the shot, you have to finish your drink.
That will be dangerous with the Manchester family.
You can't like summon them or whatever. They have to just like uninvited appear.
Oh, okay. Right. Fair play. And a question that I've been asking everybody, and I'll put to you, given this may be our final episode of the Virtual Pub, what has been your favourite moment from all of the episodes that we've done in the past?
Well, I can tell you what my least favourite moment was, the one when I was so drunk I don't remember it.
Oh, yeah.
Wine drunk Dolby.
Oof.
You know, the record took about 4 hours. Nothing I said made the air.
Oh, God.
That was my least favourite moment by far. I think my favourite moment is I've always wanted to be involved in broadcasting and have my signature catchphrase, and the fact that within about 2 weeks I had 6 different ones would probably be a highlight.
I feel like those first 2 episodes were just you like just testing so many different catchphrases to see what catches on, and then of course we ended up with
you guys remember, so I can't remember it now. People are fucking stupid.
There you go.
And me just ranting.
Say the about line this. Dan, say the line.
And me ranting about socialism.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that.
Oh, yeah. Getting on your socialist soapbox.
Yeah. And you know what? I've actually really enjoyed, I've found out a lot of stuff that's been going on in the world that I wouldn't have known about before. Because even though we have a lot of interests overlap, we also have very different interests, I think, as a group. And, you know, there are stories that different people brought to the table that I would never have known were going on. I wait not for this.
So, how's about we get into a quiz? Ladies and gentlemen, the big fat Christmas quiz of the year. That sounded like a bit of a shit name. Let me try that again.
Also sounds like a rip-off of another very popular quiz.
I was going to say, this is probably a good thing this might be the last one because we're about to get done for copyright.
Jimmy Carr's is going to come knocking on my door.
Virtual Christmas.
Just hearing coming down the
if
street.
You need to knock on the door, I'll just hear him.
I mean, if you can't, don't call it Quizzletoe, then what's the point?
Virtual Christmas.
So, we're going to do this one a little bit differently. We all have a round of three questions to ask each other. Shit, who's going to be keeping the points? Shotgun not.
Oh, I'll do it.
Yay, that's it.
I was going to volunteer, Lindsay, anyway.
Because it was my idea and I've organised it.
Cool. So,
doing a quick spreadsheet. Hang on.
All right. While Lindsay is sorting out the spreadsheet, I will go through the rules. Each round will have its own particular set of rules. For mine, for example, I have a set. Well, I have three questions about Christmas decorations. I've made the questions as interesting as possible. They are about particular like historical context of decorations that I find quite fascinating, and they all feature big numbers or random numbers. So each of you will get a chance to guess, and the closest wins that point. And everybody else with each of their respective rounds about different topics will also have their own rules. So how are you doing with that spreadsheet, Lindsay?
I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go. Cool. So I will kick off with round one of the final virtual pub quiz Christmas edition with question number one.
How are we doing the answers, by the way? Are we just doing how you should
So I'll go around each of you. I'll get all of your answers and then I'll tell you what the answer is and the closest wins with my round. And everybody else has their own different rules. Question number one. In what year were the first Christmas decorations ever put up? And we'll start with Thorpe.
1846.
Okay. Dolby?
I'm going to say 1700.
Cool. Moody?
I think it's a trick question, and they put tinsel up in the stable where baby Jesus was born in the manger, so the answer is zero.
Cool.
I'm taking this very seriously.
I can tell. Leo.
1850.
And finally, Lindsay.
So I'm going to go way earlier.
Okay. What are you going to go for?
I'm going to go for 1540.
How can you go way earlier when someone's answer was zero?
Yeah.
Because I'm not Christian. The zero is the premise that the world is only 2020 years old.
No, it's not.
Well, what came before zero?
1 BC.
Yeah, but
Old Testament and New Testament aside, the correct answer is 1605. So the closest is right. Lindsay. Lindsay takes the point. Question number two. What date of the year were Christmas trees originally put up to celebrate? And we'll go in reverse order. So we'll start with Lindsay.
Ooh. I have no idea, so I'm going to go when I put my tree up, which is December 1st.
Okay. Leo?
I'd say December the 13th.
Moody?
I was going to say what Lindsay said. I'm going to go for a New Year option and say January the 1st.
Okay.
Ooh.
Dolby?
I was going to say January the 1st as well.
Are you sticking with the answer? 1st of Jan, you say?
Yeah, I'm going for it.
Cool. And last but not least, Thorpe.
November the 26th.
So, what is that tapping sound in the background of yours, Ben?
Sorry, it's me pissing around with a pen.
Okay. So, the correct date, which is a pagan festival of Saturnalia, which celebrates the illumination of Saturn, is the 17th of December. So Leo takes that point.
I fucking read that question. I asked a question about that festival today in a work quiz.
He had an advantage in everything.
You played yourself.
Congratulations. And the third question, big number time. So based on my rough calculations based on the average amounts of power used and how many houses there are in the UK. How many watts are used to light Christmas trees across the country throughout December?
I don't even know what a fucking watt is.
it's a unit of electric.
I know, but how many is in it?
One.
Well, like, what's a light bulb?
Light bulbs are normally 60 watts or 40 watts.
Okay. Thank you.
So,
I don't know if the numbers are weird, like megabytes or some shit.
So,
you would laugh if I said like 300.
Yeah, can we at least have a clue as to what unit our answer should be in?
Okay. So, yeah, I'll start from here. It is over a billion. That can be your clue that you take forward. And we'll start from the top of the list. This gives you some time to think, Lindsay. So, Thor, give us a number.
7,634,000,000.
Any reason for the 634 in the end there?
Oh, no, wait, I missed off all the thousands.
The hundreds of thousands.
Just go with that one. 634 at the end. You can go high, you can go low, but not one penny higher.
There's right. going to be more
one penny.
It's going to be more compelling podcast content coming in a minute when Jay has to work out who's closest.
Me and my quick maths. Yeah, shit, I didn't think about that. Whatever. It's the last episode, fuck it. Dolby.
Okay, so I'm using the fact that I work in the electric industry. I'm trying to use it to get a little bit of an advantage.
All right.
So I mean, I know,
you had an advantage last round, but...
Yeah, I know. It's not going to work. But I'm going to go with 1.52 billion.
1.52 billion. Moody.
I'm going to back Dolby's knowledge of the electric industry, and then I'm going to be an asshole, and I'm going to go for 1.53 billion.
The tactical answer there. I appreciate that.
If Lindsay goes for 1.54 billion, I'm going to kick her ass.
No, I'm going for 1.5 billion and one.
So before I get exposed to being an idiot, my reasoning behind it was I know that it takes 40 watts of energy to run 100 fairy lights, because we talked about it at work the other day. So I just sort of took that and then took a rough guess about how many houses there are in the UK and times them together. So I might be massively wrong, but...
Okay. And last but not least, well, just to double check, are you committing to 1 billion, 5 million and 1?
Yes.
Okay. Leo?
Deadly serious.
I'm going to go... dream, because there's, you know, people might have two trees, people have lights outside of the buildings.
So you're going to go for 3 billion.
50 billion.
Oh, what did you say, sorry?
50 billion.
50 billion.
Jesus.
Calm down, Dr. Evil.
I like Leo's reasoning behind it, but he also has to remember that not every house puts Christmas lights up, and not everyone celebrates Christmas.
Oh yeah, my reasoning, my maths was 40 watts times 38 million. 38 million is an arbitrary number that I've just pulled out of nowhere. So basically, there might be 38 million sets of 100 fairy lights. That was it's just a pure guess, really. But you know,
so here is the correct... Well, I can already tell you from the very top, thank God I do not have to do any maths. Mm. The person who got the point is Thorpe.
Yes! Was it bang on?
It was bang on. It was exactly bang on. So, here is the total that I got based on the 19.9 million households, each having one Christmas tree and an arrangement of Christmas lights, which are LED. So the long number, I'm not even going to try and like word it out, is 65886121923.
3-4.
There we go. Nailed it. So
can I have the last three digits on the back of the card as well, please?
Okay. Your CVV and expiry date, please. Thanks.
You get nothing for a pair.
That is my three questions. Thank you all for putting up with my big number quiz. And who is next?
Ben.
Right, so I've completely balled us up as if we're writing down the answers. So Essentially, I'm doing like a rule of three thing. There's each question is made up of three separate questions. To get the point of the first answer, you have to get all three right. So I'll tally it up and then I'll let you know who's got the points, yeah?
Okay. As long as, Ben, just tell me who's getting the point at the end.
I think I know what you just said.
Yeah, so everyone will get it, there's no hope. Yeah, you'll get it by the third question of the third question, you'll have got it.
Okay.
Cool. So, the first one is Christmas quotes. I'm going to read a Christmas quote out. You've all got to tell me what film you think it's from. And then,
so do you just want to reiterate that your round was Christmas films?
Yeah, Christmas films. My round is Christmas films. My first section is Christmas quotes from films. Right, so the first quote is, don't buy drugs, become a pop star, and they give you them for free. We'll start with Jay. What film do you think that's from?
Love Actually, mate.
Yeah, Dalby, what film?
Love Actually, innit?
Yeah. Leo?
I'm just going to say Love Actually, saying there's two people.
I mean, is anyone else going to answer anything but Love Actually?
I'm starting to realise why you wanted the written element of this question.
Yeah, do you see what I mean? So the next one is Now I Have a Machine Gun. Ho, ho, ho. Jay, what film?
Well, I'm going to say Die Hard, but is it probably worth from this point if you just do like a first person to say their name and answer it?
Yeah, why not?
As an idea, so that it's not me saying Die Hard, then everybody else saying Die Hard, Die Hard.
Well, you never know. You could be wrong, which makes everybody wrong.
I know I'm not wrong.
Right. Yeah, well, all right, we're all with that one then.
I mean,
so can we just add 9 points on for this round then?
Yeah, fuck it.
We'll roll with the third one. I'm not a pervert. I was looking for a Turbo Man doll.
Jason.
Yeah.
Last Action Hero. No, wait, good. Shit. Ah.
Dolby.
No. Dolby.
Jingle all the way, innit?
Bollocks. Yeah. I got too cocky there. I got too cocky there.
So, the next one is, I'm going to name a actor. I want to know what Christmas film he was in. Michael Keaton.
Christmas Batman.
Oh, shit.
Christmas Batman.
Christmas Batman. I fucking wish. Jason. Yeah.
Jack Frost.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Which Jack Frost?
The first one. Not the terrifying horror version. Jack Frost 2.
Number two is Danny DeVito.
It's always Christmas in Philadelphia.
It's in a Christmas Batman.
It's a Christmas Batman.
It's always Christmas in Philadelphia.
God, what's he been in?
Anyone?
I've no idea.
I don't think what he's been in Christmas-wise.
It was released in 2006.
Oh, it's Deck the Halls, isn't it?
Yeah, Darby got it.
Ah.
No.
And the third one, nice and easy, Tim Allen.
Christmas Batman.
Santa Claus.
Who said that one?
Me.
Moody got it.
I got very confused then and confused Tim Allen with Tim Curry and nearly shouted out Home Alone. What?
I didn't know Tim Curry was in Home Alone.
Yeah, Home Alone 2. He's the hotel dude.
Mm.
Yeah.
Home Alone 2 is not Home Alone, is it?
Oh, for fuck off, you little shit.
Ben still being alive.
I'm gonna keep your dog.
It'll keep
and,
your
room. The third one is badly explained the movie plots. Now, I don't want any shit for these. If anyone's got any problems with them, I'd got them all off Reddit or Twitter. So the first one, the Terminator and a sailor battle over this year's hottest toy.
Jingle All the Way.
Yeah, Darby got that one. It's my favourite Christmas film. Of course, I'm going to mention it as many times as possible. Number two is Kid hops a ride on a strange train.
Jason.
Yep.
Christmas Express.
Lindsay.
No. Yeah. No,
Polar Express.
Yeah, fuck Lindsay off. Got that one.
I thought it was going to be E.T.
Home Alone. Love Actually.
And
Jingle All the Way.
It's just name them all, quick. The Grinch.
The third one is bad parents forget their son about four times.
Home Alone.
Home Alone. Christmas
back. Well, technically in the second one, they don't forget him. He gets on the wrong flight.
And no one's ever watched the others.
No. Right, so who got final points in that, Ben?
Dalby got two. Dalby got... Dalby got three, Jay got one, Lindsay got one, and Moody got one.
I mean, I'd love those first 2 points, but obviously you gave me enough time to think about them before everybody jumped in.
Okay, this is why we don't let Ben do the quiz.
Do you see why I should have...
Yes.
It's your round, babe.
It is.
What are you going to do?
Christmas traditions.
Ooh.
My...
Jingle All the Way.
Christmas Batman.
Shall I read you my questions? There's a little bit of context in there, and it is a just like Ben's round. I want you to say your name for the answer. Okay. Question one: this Christmas, a well-known high street coffee chain is partnering with the Reading Agency to share the joy of reading by gifting $100,000 to some of the families and communities hit hardest by the pandemic in 2020. The campaign is inspired by Yola Bokaflod. This is a tradition of exchanging books with loved ones on Christmas Eve, and Lucy translates as Christmas Book Flood. It's a Christmas Eve tradition dating back to World War II, where books are given and received and read through the night with chocolate and a hot drink. But in what Scandinavian / Nordic country? Yes?
Iceland.
Correct.
Yes.
Nice.
Learned that on my walking tour of Reykjavik.
Question two. Although Christmas isn't a national holiday in Japan, as an estimated 1% of the population is Christian, its existence. Hello.
KFC.
Correct.
Oh, nice one.
So for the listeners at home, I shall say the rest of the question. So its citizens still find an interesting and delicious way to celebrate. Rather than gathering around the table for a turkey dinner, families head out to buy meals from a famous fast food restaurant. The tradition began in 1974 after a wildly successful marketing campaign. Right, are we all ready for question three?
Yep.
All right.
I've decided to represent my own heritage with an Italian Christmas tradition. In Italy, what are you not allowed to eat on Christmas Eve?
Ben, Thorpe.
Yes?
Pizza? Stereotype?
It's not racist.
It's not racist, but it kind of feels like it is.
It's kind of supermarket everyday racism.
Waitress.
It was me not thinking an answer, and then it was me realizing halfway through getting the words out that I was like, shit, what have I just said?
I also like the way you had to say Ben Thorpe, like we didn't know who you are.
No, even I've just started saying what everyone else calls me these days.
Leo, is the answer turkey?
Oh, I can't accept it-ish.
Chicken.
No.
Goose.
No.
Roast dinner.
You're too literal.
Birds.
Turkey leg.
Metaphorical turkey.
He's got it.
Meat.
It's meat.
Hey.
It's meat. George, oh, give your meat a good old rub.
For fuck's sake. Yeah, boy.
Oh. Daniel San.
Hopefully the technology on this one isn't going to fail me. So I've got music.
We're going to be DMCA'd.
Oh, we're going to be copyright.
You're about to get the Christmas Batman soundtrack.
Okay.
No,
So
I'm going to play you 3 songs. Now, you get no points for getting the title of the songs. So what I want is I want the artist that's performed the song. And it's the same way. It's one of the ones where you say your name and give me your answer. So okay. All 3 songs, I just want the artist. And there's 5 bonus points available. There's a link between all 5 of the all 5.
Oh, you bloody love a link question, don't you?
I do. This is a Paul Quiz classic. So there is a link between the artists, and if you get the link, there's a specific link. You can't just say that they're all making music.
Lost it.
You can't just say like they're all making music. It's got to be a specific link. Then you'll get 5 bonus points.
Okay.
Here is your first one. Remember, we want the artist.
Okay.
Christmas coming around again, eh?
Yeah, I mean, it must be nearly a year since the last one.
Oh, it's a good 12 months.
Yeah.
You get anything for your granny this year?
Well, I thought about it. I couldn't be bothered.
Well, it's the thought that counts, isn't
it? Yeah, that's how I see it. What do you fancy this Christmas then?
Kim Wilde, as usual. Kidding myself, don't I? It's hopeless, really. It's pathetic, I suppose, in a way.
It is, yeah. Hello, who's this?
Merry Christmas, Melvin.
It can't be.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, maybe.
It's Mel and Kim.
It is Mel and Kim, yeah. 1 point for Lindsay.
Never heard of that before.
It's a cover of
Rock Around.
Oh, okay.
Here's a little, here's a little extract of the actual song.
This is so corny.
There's also a great vi- Sorry, Dan. Sorry.
No, I agree. It's a great video. Here is your second one. As a caveat, this is the most difficult one of the three.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
The evening has been
hoping that you drop in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hand, say just like
I. Mother will start to worry.
I've no clue.
Okay,
so I also have no clue.
Does anyone have a clue?
I remember seeing it, but I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard it, but I can't for life me think who it is.
So the band are called She and Him, and it is Zooey Deschanel's band.
Deschanel,
yes.
And Edward Norton, no, Joseph Lee Kravitz, or whatever his name is, him from
Joseph Lee Kravitz.
500 Days of Summer.
Joseph Lee Kravitz.
You mean Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
That's the one, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Lenny's twice-removed brother.
So I would have taken Zooey Deschanel as the answer for that one. But it seems like if you got it, we'll go on to the third one, which is a lot easier, don't worry.
Ben Thorpe.
Of course. Yeah.
Robbie Williams and Nicole Kidman.
Correct. So for 5 bonus points, what's the link between you artists?
Is it really obvious? Is it really specific?
Oh, Lindsay.
Lindsay got there first.
They're all duets, with people who aren't together.
So, no, that was going to be my answer. That was why I asked, is it really specific? Ben Thorpe?
Yeah.
They're all used in films.
Incorrect.
Jason, they are duets that all feature a female film star.
Incorrect, but you're the closest so far.
They all have actors in them.
All have actors in it. Lindsay takes a point.
Boom.
She and Him has 3 people in.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, Joseph Lenny Kravitz, whatever his name is.
Zooey Deschanel and Nicole Kidman are all famous. Well, varying degrees of fame, I will concede, but they're all actors. Better known for their acting than their singing. So that was mine. So Lindsay gets 5 bonus points.
Boom.
Nice.
Well, that it's worked. A good thing that it's my round next, seeing as you've got some chance to catch up then, lads.
What are the scores looking like at the moment?
The scores at the moment?
Yeah.
I'm in the lead with 10 points.
Of course.
Dolby is next with 3. Then Ben, Jason, Moody all on 2. And then Leo at the back with 1.
I think 5 bonus points is a bit ambitious.
Just a tad, yeah. I might take them off.
Should we just say 3 bonus points instead?
We can do, I don't mind.
Yeah, I think there should have been none because Lindsay had 2 guesses at that.
Do the scoring any way you want. When we get to my round, it might become irrelevant.
I'll take away my bonus points. Still 2 points ahead.
Right, let's crack on with Lindsay's round.
Cool.
So what are you going to do, Lindsay?
I have got food and drink, and I am doing family fortunes.
Oh.
Mm. Right. I have got here, according to a YouGov survey that they did a while back, the top six things that people said they like to eat at Christmas. Basically, get something that's on the board, you get a point. That easy. And we'll go down the list that I've got here just because it's easier. So, Dolby, name a top six food people like to eat at Christmas.
Turkey.
Yep, you're on the board. Point to Dolby. Ben.
Stuffing.
No.
Oh.
Our survey said, sorry. Jason.
Brussels sprouts.
Moody.
Pigs and blankets.
Ding!
That was the number one. That must have been the number one.
It wasn't.
Nah, lying.
Leo.
Roast potatoes.
Ding, ding, ding. Top answer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, boy.
Wow.
I was going for pigs in blankets, so thanks.
And then I will allow a go again, just because I can. We've only got two. I thought you'd do a bit more than that.
Is Christmas pudding on there?
No. There are. I will say there are no desserts on this. This is all savoury. Ben.
Ooh.
Yorkshire puddings.
Ding, ding, ding. Second answer. Jason.
And potatoes has already been said.
There's only two left, and I would say they're going to be a bit more difficult.
Roast parsnips.
Nope.
Nope.
Is it me?
Moody. Sorry.
It's Moody.
Oh, it's me. Gravy.
Nope.
Oh, come on.
And Leo.
So I think it's going to be a sauce, and I'm going to go with bread sauce.
And you fought wrong.
It's crazy sauce, isn't it?
So the missing two answers is roast beef and roast pork.
What?
Who are these people? You can have them any time of the year. Get fucked.
You can have turkey any time of the year.
Throughout this entire podcast, I've never heard Leo get as passionately angry about something as the selection of meat options
Leo's
on Christmas dinner.
Himself, though, because he says you can have them any time of the year, but in Italy, apparently, you can't have them on Christmas Eve. So,
exactly.
What have we learned?
You can have turkey any time of the year as well. Just mm-hmm. Have you never had like a massive big family roast where you got like five joints of meat on the table?
No.
Because I have. They're incredible. Mm. When I was with one of the exes, his family would do a whole, like, we had a ham and like two turkeys and beef. And my great aunt and uncle, who has gotten over COVID, they both had their first jabs, by the way. They on Christmas Day, they're having a ham, a beef, and a duck. There's just two of them.
Nice.
Nice one.
Just two of them. So, yes.
My auntie's having like a five bird roast, like, you know, a bird within a bird within a bird. But she can be fancy if she wants. We're just having turkey.
Joey's having chicken and chips. He's having turkey and chips.
Hey.
Turkey would be okay.
Go on then, what's the next one?
Next one, we have Moody.
So, final round. This can decide it all. So before we do that, Lindsay, can we have an update on the scores?
Yeah, so I am on top with 5, Dolby on 4, and then Ben and yourself on 3, and Jason and Leo at the bottom with 2.
Okay, so it's very close, and that's convenient, because this final round is a winner-take-all round with 5 points for the winner, rendering the previous rounds largely irrelevant. But...
Welcome to a virtual pub quiz, ladies and gentlemen.
So, for the final round, we're going to talk about TV, and I want you to cast your minds back to those years past where you've had your Christmas dinner and slumped on the sofa and watched all sorts of weird and wonderful and usually pretty shit TV, some of which we've talked about earlier in this podcast. This is going to be a survivor round, so we're going to go round the five of you, and I want each of you to give me the name of a program that in the last 20 years, from 2000 through to 2019, has been listed in the top 10 most watched Christmas programs on Christmas Day of one of those years? You don't have to give the name, you don't have to give the year. I just need the name of a program that will have appeared in the top 10 audience figures in a Christmas Day in the last 20 years. Now, just to clarify, in the interest of this round not lasting half an hour, you can't use the same program in each of the 20 different years. So as the obvious example, only one person can have the Queen's Christmas message. You can't have it for each of the 20 years. And there's obviously quite a few shows that come up in multiple years and, you know, most of the years of the, that make up the 20. But think back to Christmas Day films you've watched with your families and Christmas specials and all of that good stuff. If you can't come up with something, and I'm going to be quite strict on the timings, you can't sit there and think about it for 20 seconds. As soon as you cut, you either give a wrong answer or you can't think of something, you'll be eliminated. And the last one standing gets the 5 points and, by virtue of the current scores, wins the quiz. Sound good?
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
So
this is going to be fun.
Here we go, guys. We're going to go in the reverse order of scores. So those with the lowest scores will go first, and then we'll work around from there. So we will start off. And Jason, first answer, please.
The snowman.
Snowman. There might be a brief moment while I have to check some of these. So I'm afraid, Jason, you've been eliminated at the first hurdle. The snowman has never been shown on Christmas Day. It's usually a Christmas Eve show.
Oh, my word.
Which I know, because I consider that a birthday tradition of mine. So unfortunately, Jason, you failed to give any correct answers, which, considering I started off by saying you could say the Queen's Christmas message, isn't that
shocking? I wanted to say something different.
So I wonder what Leo's going to say. Leo.
EastEnders
is correct. I think that's been in the top 10 pretty much every year of the last 20. Ben.
Queen's Speech.
The Queen's Speech is surprisingly correct. Well done, sir. Dolby.
Gavin and Stacey.
Gavin and Stacey. It was, at the very least, it was the most watched last year, and I think it's been on one other as well. So, yeah, you're correct. Lindsay.
Strictly Come Dancing.
Strictly has pretty much been in the top 10 every year since its inception. Spot on. So we go back round with Leo.
Doctor Who.
What, the band or?
Doctor Who.
I thought you said the Who. Yeah. Doctor Who, pretty standard Christmas special for many, many years. Absolutely spot on. Ben.
Coronation Street.
Coronation Street has had, when is that, it's a Christmas special every year, isn't it? Yeah, it is. You're right. Yep. Dolby.
Downton Abbey.
Downton. Has there been a Downton Christmas special? Yes, there has. And that's been in the top 10, correct. Lindsay.
Top of the Pops.
If I type it incorrectly, I'm just checking where it actually falls in. I'm afraid not. The only time it appears in recent years is I've got a 2018 list, but unfortunately it doesn't make the top 10. So you've been eliminated, Lindsay. So we've got three left and we loop round again to Leo.
This is Brown's Boys.
Ugh.
I know it pains you to say it, but spot on. Most years it's been on, it's usually in the top 10, and in multiple years it's actually been the most watched programme on the Christmas Day because people are fucking stupid. Ben.
Vicar of Dibley.
Vicar of Dibley has certainly had Christmas specials, yeah, and they are mostly in the top 10 as well. So spot on. Dolby.
Wallace and Gromit.
Ooh.
Wallace and Gromit. Yeah, it's had multiple showings of various films, and in 2008 they had the one-off special, A Matter of Loaf and Death, that was actually the most watched programme on Christmas Day 2008. So we're back round Leo again, yeah?
Yeah, I think this may be me out. Only Fools and Horses.
Only Fools and Horses.
No, that's been a Christmas one.
Has been number one every time it's been a Christmas special, and the last Christmas special was in 2003. So you are correct and you stay alive. Ben.
My Family.
My Family, a popular sitcom which was last shown on Christmas Day in 2003. So you are correct. It was the fifth most watched in 2003. Dolby.
Call of the Midwife.
I'm going to be generous because it's called The Midwife. There's no of, but we'll let you have it.
What is the call of the midwife?
The call of the
Was one of the most watched shows in 2020.
Ah, brilliant. So, yeah, background again, Leo.
All hours.
Say again, sorry.
Open All Hours.
Open All Hours. It is a classic show.
It's done some.
Hasn't been on in the Christmas top 10 in the last 20 years. So, unfortunately, ooh, you are eliminated and we have just two left.
Ooh.
Then.
So, me.
Yep.
The Office.
The Office, a legendary Christmas special, but unfortunately didn't make the top 10 in the year that it was shown. So unfortunately you are eliminated, and that means that Dolby, Quizmaster Extraordinaire, has delivered when it counts and is the winner of the however many points it was he needed to win the quiz and wins the quiz. Well done.
It seems only fitting that the Quizmaster wins the wins the final virtual pub quiz.
It does, doesn't it?
It does.
Have you been your final answer, Dolby?
The final answer is a muted microphone.
Moody, could I have had could I have
Jesus Christ, Ben!
Just don't get so close to your speakers. Could have had the Strictly Come Dancing result show?
No, because the Christmas specials are always one and done.
Yeah, they are. There is no result show. It's all on judges.
I'm just scrolling through this list. In 2006, which I think was the first year that Strictly happened, you had the Strictly Come Dancing Christmas special was the 8th most watched show, but also the 10th most watched show was the Strictly Come Dancing Christmas special preview. Because people have got fuck all to do on Christmas Day, apparently.
Where does the alternative Christmas message sit in this?
Never, because it's always on Channel 4, and Channel 4 never makes the ratings.
Damn.
Because it's not watched.
Two Ronnies.
I don't think. Hang on, I'll just double check. I think I saw this.
Link us this list. I like it.
Yeah. There's only one appearance. Oh no, the Two Ronnies was in 2005, and then the only other appearance is in 2010, which was the One Ronnie.
Oh,
I should have fucking said it.
I should have said the royal family.
Oh yeah, I had too much royal hope family. In Top of the Pops, but not everyone watches it like I do.
I'm thinking Malcolm and Wise, but I don't know if they've repeated them at all.
Men Behaving Badly. Like it's
more hard
now because like if there's something you don't want to watch, you just change the bloody channel. So I never remember what I watched.
Yeah,
because
that was a great end to the quiz.
Why didn't I say Frozen? Why didn't I say a Disney film?
That's a special effort from Jay on that final round, though, being given the first answer and still managing to get it wrong.
I don't know why I went in so confident. I was like, the snowman, that's got to be a Christmas Day thing. But then I've just looked, and if I had said the snowman and the snow dog.
Oh yeah, that probably has been on Christmas Day, but it doesn't make the ratings.
Because then it's Channel 4 and it doesn't even make the ratings, yeah. Fuck's sake.
Gruffalo, man, the Gruffalo.
I'm just not that Christmassy at the moment, apparently.
Shrek.
How's about we wrap up the show and we let everybody go off and have a Merry Christmas. Sound good?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Cool. So, special congratulations again to Dolby for taking that win of the final pub quiz of the virtual pub. And I would like to take this time to thank you all from the bottom of my heart, and I'm sure from the bottom of everyone else's hearts, for taking the time to listen to this show and listen to any previous episodes if you've ever decided to pull up with us. This started as a ways and means of us being able to distract ourselves from the shit of the world that is 2020. And it's kind of grown into something a bit more than that. And we've really appreciated the kind words from our listeners when they've jumped on and reviewed. And it's meant a lot. It's meant a whole lot to hear from you all. And on a personal note, it's meant the world to actually have this time with my friends and have you all here talking to you. I love you guys. It's been great.
Oh, I love you too.
And we may return at some point. Maybe we end up in another lockdown and we get bored and we do this again.
First week of January, guys.
First week of January, we'll see you then. If we come back, we'll come back with more fresh ideas. We'll get Ben never doing the quiz ever again.
That's our New Year's resolution, don't worry.
Yes. If you would like to follow us, we're not really posting that much at the moment, but if you would like to, you can find us at Virtual Pub PC on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find me and all of my nerdy exploits across Twitter at Mr. Jason England. You'll see me reporting a lot from the Consumer Electronics Show CES in January. So a lot of going to sleep early and waking up at midnight to report on stuff at American time. Lindsay, where can we find you?
You can find my fat ass on Instagram at KezzyBeat.
Cool. And Dolby, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at UnlikelyDan.
Awesome. And Leo, where can we find you?
I am Burning Paper Heart. That's burning without the G, heart without the E.
Cool. And Thorpe, where can we find you?
You can find me at Ben's Face on Instagram and Twitter.
Cool. And Moody
doesn't really do a lot.
Doesn't do social media.
So,
yeah, I was about to say, where can we find you?
I'm about.
Come into a Tesco near you.
Yeah, if you just come out, guys, stand outside and shout really loudly, I'll probably turn up.
You can find me at Tesco. And I guess as a joint last place of the quiz, what are me and Leo going to sing? To sing us out.
It's got to be a Christmas song.
Snowman.
Yeah, the snowman. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Wham everyone.
Oh, I don't
do. We
wham
can't do that.
Nah, we've got it.
Actually, no. I do want to see if Jay and Leo can sing as high as Alan Jones.
I used to be soprano.
Right, are you ready for this? Thank you all.
Jay, go and get your balls off Laura and stick them up. Eye up
oof,
inside.
Oof, savage. Savage coming from somebody like you, mate. So, yes, thank you all for listening to the Virtual Pub. If we see you again, we'll see you again. If not, thank you for putting up with our strange, strange show. And thank you for letting us bring the pub
to you.
They're just useless without me, aren't they?
Yeah, I just wanted that enthusiasm there for that final. Bring the pub to you. There we go, to you. Anyway, from the top. We're walking in the air. We're floating in the moonlit sky.
The why am I around?
You took my iron brew and let go of my soul.
So apologies to anybody wearing earphones having to pull up with that there.
Snow is falling all around you. Children playing.
Okay, let's join in.
Having fun.
Where's Prince Andrew?
Merry Christmas.
Everyone. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.